Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Blog Talk Radio Show on Monday through Friday, 6:30 in the evening, and at times 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday when my situation permits me to swing that. The show, give a little background about the show. First of all, tonight I'll be talking about two things. First of all, the idea of the end of the age and the cleansing of the temple, which is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, 41 to 47. And also I'll be talking about the response to Pope Francis's position concerning sacramental marriage being prohibited to homosexual brothers and sisters, which he's following the Catholic Catechism and the biblical revelation in that respect. But I want to talk about it in some sense that a number of Catholic colleges students have disagreed with the Pope on this issue. I want to raise the point as to perhaps they are improper, their thinking isn't entirely clear on this issue. So now I have to tell you this is a politically incorrect show. It is a a show of where we don't eschew political correctness, and we are concerned with media, with not with false media thoughts or hypes or political rhetoric, but we're getting at the truth and the facts. That is what this show is concerned about. Second thing, I'm a Christian, and that is a very extremely important element of my thinking, which I'm not prepared to abandon or change. I am concerned with the position of Christ as Lord and as risen from the dead and as coming to, as having risen to heaven, and his will make a judgment on all of us, including me, who I'm sure will be judged accordingly for my defects as well as my strengths. And then I believe in the full authority of Holy Scripture and in all the creeds of the Church, Athanasian, Apostles, and Athanasian Creed and Nicene Creed. I also run two radio shows, a podcast show, and this Blog Talk Radio show, and many China and Muslim countries visit these shows, and over 4,300 people have visited these shows on my podcast site. And many people from many countries visit both of these shows, including Bangladesh, India, Malaysia, etc. I am also a writer. I've written 10 books, and I'm announcing the publication of 3 more, which I'm working on. I've completed a book on the Psalms, which John Donne, the very greatest of English poets, said was the manna of the Church. He was right. The Psalms, as they are translated into English or in any other language, have a life and strength that goes beyond any translation from their translation from Hebrew to English or whatever. I suggest you look at any other translation of any book, whether War and Peace by Leo Tolstoy or Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment. You look at those translations and look at the English translation of the Psalms, and you will see the greatness of the writer of those Hebrew lyric poetry, how it comes across so fantastically. I'm a great fan of the Psalms and, of course, of the Bible in every way. I'm also writing a book, in the process of writing a book, compiling my essays, on literary essays, a book on the miracles in the Bible, and on the Psalms, those three. They're in preparation. The Psalms is completed. I have a publisher, and I'm working on the sayings, which I just mentioned, literary and theological and biblical and all kinds of other topics, such as politics and current events. this book, I hope, will be quite interesting. It will probably be two volumes. And the third one is a book on the miracles, which I have partially completed and I'm working on. I also have written over 700 blogs or essays, and many of these can be found at academia.edu and on my website and on my social media. Many people from many countries, once again, do read these articles. They apparently find them of some value, intellectual value. I'm very interested in writing and in thinking and in speaking. I do many speaking engagements, and I do hope that these radio shows which I run and the speaking engagements as well as my books and articles are received in a positive fashion. At least they stimulate thinking, which I'm concerned about, a society which no longer engages in too much thinking, but mostly is concerned with lies and propaganda from radio and television. I look to the day when print and thinking will make a return, an essential return to our culture. Without it, we will go down to darkness. I repeat, it without print and being made available in the great books being read, we will descend to gross darkness, which is apparently the present situation right now. I've written three very long journal articles, an article in the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure, which has been bought by the United States Supreme Court and by the State Department, as well as two lengthy articles on Academicus and an Albanian journal. It's on sex discrimination and on the educational system. These have been bought by many, many libraries across the world, including many Arab and Muslim countries have bought these books, as well as my other books, my 10 books. Many Arab and Muslim countries have bought these books. They have a Christian orientation. The articles have a Christian orientation, but they are bought. And Qatar has bought my book, Essays in the Christian Worldview. So, which goes to show you that those with an open mind will grow, and those who read will grow. Those who don't read will not grow and will fall down to zero, to ground level or below. Tonight I'm going to talk about something that really concerns me. I read in a National Catholic Review a little blurb that a number of Catholic college students printed op-eds disagreeing with the Pope's position on same-sex marriage. Let me make it clear. I have no prejudice against our gay and homosexual and lesbian brothers and sisters. I love them. I wish them the best. I know Jesus died for them and gave his life for them and offers them eternal life. And they are most welcome at all times in the church and should be received with open arms by everybody. However, the biblical revelation and Christian doctrine is eminently clear from the first chapter of Romans, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and in Kings, where the cult of Sodomites are cast out from the land. There are many mentions in the Bible which identify homosexual activity, active homosexuality activity, with sin. The basis of it is not so much that it is homosexual activity, but it's activity outside of marriage. A heterosexual activity outside of marriage is equally condemned. And Jesus does specifically say in the Gospels that we should leave our mother and father. If we are going to marry, we should go into heterosexual marriage from our parents. He makes a specific statement in that respect, and frankly, I think the Catholic college students, I think they're naive because they don't understand. Their mistaken thinking is that Christianity is all love but no judgment. Jesus makes many statements of judgment, multiple statements of judgment. He identifies sin. And the gay community is asking the church to endorse their activity in a marriage ceremony, and the church can't do that. Not because it dislikes gay people or hates them or is hostile, but because it regards gay activity, active gay activity, not mental, but active gay activity in the category of sin or a disorder. The Catholic Catechism defines homosexual activity as sin and a disorder, and I think the Pope is not really prepared to change 2,000 years of thinking in this respect. I feel bad the gay community, these students, interpret the Pope Francis's position in this respect as lacking, but I think they're simply being affected by politics. And politics is no basis for thinking. They are probably told by their professors or whoever they may meet in college that this is okay. But unfortunately, for a Christian, it is not okay. For a Christian, many, many things that the world endorses and goes along with are not okay. But that's the church. The church is not the world. But then again, I think it should be understood by these college students that the church is not the world. It has a different set of standards and differences in thinking on many issues. So I think I welcome their view that on this issue, and they are, but I think the church cannot really change its position on this doctrine any more than it can change their position that Jesus is God or divine, or that that's one thing the church cannot change, or that he rose from the dead. Church can't their position can't change that position. That he's coming to judge the world again for their sins. Can't change that position. Can't change the position that the world is encased in sin and needs salvation. Can't change that position. These are the Christian faith. However unpleasant to be told that our gay person is told that their activity is disordered, that is the church's position. Any more than it's unpleasant to be told that having an affair outside of marriage is good. Church can't tell people that. Has to tell people something different in that respect. So that's all I have to say about this. And now I'm going to talk briefly about the end of the age. It's found in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 47, which speak us and inform us of Jesus' words concerning the end of the age and in cleansing the temple of commerce and money changers. I feel that I am honored to have the privilege to grasp and comprehend the word and mind of the Son of God. But the words of the gospel passage are as follows. And he drew near and saw the city. He wept over it, saying, would that even today you knew all the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. Then Jesus says, as he sees the city of Jerusalem, would that even today you knew all things that make for peace, but they're hidden now. And then he says, the day shall come upon your enemies, will cast up a bank about you, and surround you and hem you in every side, and dash you to the ground, and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. So he's saying here, the day will come that the world system will end. He says that as he weeps over Jerusalem, that the day shall come, your enemies, Satan and the forces of evil, will cast up a bank about you and surround you and hem you in on every side and dash you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone unturned. So he says there'll be this situation where enemies will destroy you and your children. And then he goes into the temple and drives out the commerce and money changers, saying, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you made it a den of robbers. And then it says he was teaching daily in the temple, And he said the chief priests and scribes and principal men of the people sought to destroy him, but they could not find anything they could do, for the people hung on his words. So this is talking about the end of the world, in which enemies will destroy other people, the war, forces of evil. And then he says he objects to the temple being a commercial situation. And then, more important, it says here in Luke chapter 19:41-47, that the chief priests and scribes and men of the people sought to destroy him. So he had great opposition from the religious hierarchy in Palestine for what he was saying, but they couldn't find. Then, more important, they couldn't find anything wrong with what he said, for all the people hung on his words. It's very important to be told here that all the people hung on his word. This general passage challenges all of us to understand these verses in three ways. And rather than my talking about this tonight, I'm going to complete this talk tomorrow night with a full interpretation of this passage. But I've given you what's in the passage. It's the end of the age. Of course, our society would not like to be told that the world is defective and will be destroyed by the forces of evil. Nobody wants to hear that. But then again, it may be true. So anyway, I will complete this discussion tomorrow night, again at 6:30, and I hope you find it of interest. Thank you very much. You can find this passage, as I begin to talk about it, in Luke 19:41-47. Thank you very much.